All right, guys, welcome back. Going into the second hour here of week 28 of Roleplay Swan Song. Adam, what's going on?
Steven, that was the most like posed like reintroduction I think I've ever seen you do. That was beautiful.
I'm just looking out for
y'all. Let me just take a really long sip of this martini.
It was a delicious sip, by the way. So there's a crazy thunderstorm happening in Montreal right now. Like,
oh, wow.
Biggest thunderstorm I've ever had in 5 years here. So if I just suddenly drop offline, that's why. But it's awesome. I love thunderstorms.
It's good.
And martinis.
Into it. Good background for a duel. All right. So we come back from the break again with a fade in to a flashback. And we pan down from the atmosphere to a planet that appears to be like mostly water. Like this great blue green, like beautiful, like tropical vista of just water in every direction. And through the clouds, we can see this like floating platform. And as we zoom in on it, as we get closer, we can see like neon, floating like hollow neon signs advertising various like shipyards. There's a big like Ximenez Shipyards sign and a Sunbeam Fleet sign. And we end up zooming into a small, like a shop, basically, like a machine shop or a garage. And standing in the room is Piani and Higgs. And like we saw Mr. Scarion last, they're like a little younger, a little less battle-worn. And we get a subtitle that says, Sunbeam outgoing, Planet Asa, July 3199. And the two of them are basically like, you've got a data pad with a list of names on it, and most of the names are crossed off. We don't get to see it close enough to see what the names are, but there's a bunch of like crossed off names. And when we pan back to get like a full view of the room, we hear footsteps, and we see at the bottom of like a stairway coming from the top floor, a familiar character appears. It's Victor Kovacs. And so you come down the staircase, Victor, and out into the room, and basically you guys have been at this like all day, like just trying desperately to find one more person for the crew. You know, you've got the engineer basically sorted out, you got the computers, you got the pilot, you got the ship, you're paying the mortgage. But you need some muscle. And so you've been basically like, Higgs, you've gone through your whole list of like badass ace and mercenaries.
Right.
And you've pretty much run them dry. Like they're all dead or unavailable or whatever. Not right. And you're down to one of the last on the list. And when we see you like looking through the list, we see just a single name near the bottom, says Sicarian. And there's footsteps at the door to the garage. And the camera like looks over with the crew, and we see Mr. Sicarian. What do you look like now, Mr. S? This is sometime later. Some things have happened to you.
Much what you'd imagine, just like, you know, oiled back hair, black, green eyes, younger, cleaner, a little bit less grizzled, hasn't been Vikinged up a little bit, and is, instead of wearing obviously armor of any kind, really, it's more of like kind of a body glove underneath. Very smart looking casual combat clothes, which is a weird way to describe, like, you know, khaki ish pants,
fitting
black shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, like off duty military costuming. Yeah, it's not your like dress outfit, and that's not your fatigues, but like standard issue. Yeah, okay. All right. So, so you're answering an ad for a ship that needs. I mean, tell us about the ad, Higgs. Like, what did you put in the like. On Space Craigslist.
Maybe I just put like what do you call our ship? Like what type of ship is it again? A freight carrier?
It's a free merchant or a freighter.
Oh yeah, free merchant. So yeah, I'll just put like free merchant ship looking for combat officer. Perks, or I guess higher pay if can cook, or something like that.
All right, yeah. So there's a candidate at the door answering your ad.
Okay. Yeah, I turn around. I guess you're here, so you see us first. What do you say to us, Jeff?
I say, hello, I'm answering the ad. My name is Mr. Sicarian.
Okay, what's your last name?
Sicarian.
It's Sicarian, Sicarian?
Sure, let's go with that.
I kind of look towards Piani and Victor, and I've kind of got us. Well, okay, what can... you got any guns on
it's
you?
Like you've never fucking hired a guy before. You asked
well,
me,
I
like,
didn't hire you two.
Fucking questions.
Look,
when
don't
you
start
hired
this shit.
Guy
if you're fucking telling me right now that I'm going to be on this ship for 3 years with you constantly nagging on my ass, just fucking stop.
I go over to Sicarian and I hold out my hand. I say, Sicarian, huh?
I shake it, obviously, and look him in the eye and say, yep, Mr. Sicarian.
Yeah, like, I'm giving you a pretty firm squeeze. I'm like, all right, yeah. What's your background? How many years have you served? That kind of thing. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I have a military background. I've been fighting for the Onitsa Republic. I was in the Honor Guard, actually, for the last few years. And before that, I was also in a paramilitary group as well. I do have to be honest with you. I'm an absolutely horrendous cook. It's actually a bit of
well,
a
how
joke.
Bad is horrendous?
So you like say that over short. He looks at me and says, well, I've learned to cook macaroni. But other than that,
okay. Well,
I will be honest with you, it's quite bad.
I shake my head. I shake my head. I say, we should have gone with that French guy, Higgs.
Nope. Nope. Always.
And as he says that, I go, but to sell myself here, I do feel that I am more than adequate in the combat regard. And if safety and security is what you're paying me for and cooking is only a matter of a raise, then I think you're getting a bargain deal with me.
Okay.
You don't object to a physical, do you, Mr. Sicarian? Need to know you're in top fighting form.
I look at him and I'm like, I assumed that would be part of.
He's
the
doctor.
Process.
He likes to just let him.
Yeah, I just turn my data pad around and I hand him a stylus. I say, sign here.
Mr. Sicarian signs.
Yeah. Okay. So there's like a medical panoply over in the corner that I've got set up. So. You know, I just walk you over and start, like, attaching electrodes to your brain and chest, and I've got, like, a breather tube. So I just, you know, I say, okay, well, we need to keep asking you some questions, so we're just going to get started. We'll worry about the O2 sat test in a little bit.
Can I ask my questions now?
God, Piani.
Yeah, what are you fucking putting your hand up? This isn't preschool. What the fuck?
All right, I got five questions for you, Mr. Carrion.
Oh, God.
You know anything about computers?
I know that they are a tactical asset. They're, of course, a part of our burgeoning society, and that they provide fantastic information across the galaxy. Well, within limitations, of course, but other than that, no, not necessarily.
I'm a business. Start with a light jog at 8 miles per hour. Boop,
boop, boop, so the treadmill starts to go.
Yeah. I answer. I'm still making eye contact with her while jogging.
Do you think you could beat up Mr. Higgs?
Without looking at Mr. Higgs, I just say yes.
Christ, Piani, I
can you fire a weapon?
For the first time since he's entered the room, there's like a little half smile on his face. He says, yes, I can fire weapons.
So you got a problem with psychics?
I do not.
All right, well, I guess I only had four questions then.
Mr. Sicarian,
you got out by me.
Are you comfortable with dead bodies?
He kind of like, he looks over at you and his eyes kind of like, there's a slight, you know, as he's like jogging and he kind of looks above you and he's like, when you say comfortable with dead bodies, I can only assume you mean in normal circumstances, right? You don't mean like having your arms both inside of a dead body type of thing.
Well, no, not your arms. That's my job.
Ah. Then in that case, yes, I'm very comfortable with dead bodies.
All right, good. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, geez. Yeah. You run like a racehorse, Sicarian. This is good good stats here. You know, let me... here, I got some...
Well,
hold on.
I could fucking do this. How did everyone else fail this and Mr. Sicarian's passing it? Kovacs, what the fuck's going on? He's just running in place and talking.
Yeah, Higgs, you take a look at this, and I just like hand him the data pad that's showing your vital readout, Sicarian, and it's like a steady like 62 beats per minute.
Very Spartan.
Kovacs, yeah. I don't fucking understand any of this. That's why you're here, is to relay the shit.
He's a good candidate.
He's just, you know, he seems really fit. You know, if we got in a difficult spot with him, you know, I don't think his body would collapse, and that's good.
Okay.
Christ, some of the other guys I saw that were so hopped up on blue fever, you'd never be able to trust him in a pinch.
You notice my heart rate picks up a little.
Yeah, it's like up to 64.
The regular beeping just goes like beep, 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 beep for a second, and then you like get it under control.
Yep.
Awesome. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I walk over behind the medical panoply, and I walk out with like a big black rubber glove. Say, all right, Sicarian, next test. Let's go in the back room.
This is his favorite. He started with it every time. I don't know why it's second this time.
He, you know, as everyone speaks, he's very courteous because he doesn't know yet who to disrespect. So he makes eye contact with everybody. Says, yes, of course, I expected this as well.
What? Jesus Christ. No, no. No, I'm done here.
I had my belt like half off.
Yeah, you're like, well, whatever.
And then I start to put it back on. I'm kind of looking at everyone for affirmation of like what's happening. I don't understand.
What kind of pay are you looking for?
Well, we done cook, so we can just pay him shit.
Oh, he deserves exactly what we got.
Yeah, and you guys are getting shit. That's how this works. Piani, did you not read the contract?
As long as it's a livable wage, I'm happy. The salary is not why I'm here. I'm here to travel and hopefully fulfill the role.
Well, we've got one of the...
Oh, I just, like, push stop on the treadmill. Boop. You know, do you stumble at all?
No.
Damn.
I got a plus one on my dexterity, bro.
Hell yeah.
I just kind of, like, look at you in surprise, look at Higgs, look back. I say, Sicarian, what... What are you fighting for?
That is an interesting question. Can you please perhaps limit the parameters for which you're looking at? Or is it as global as you are asking?
Sicarian, just look at that half-baked backwater criminal hiring us on. Me, to provide a face of legitimacy. You, to back that up. Why are you here?
I fought for the...
Why not find another mercenary crew? Why not sign on to an army somewhere? Why are you with us?
I've tried those things. I fought for a cause that I believe to be wholesome and correct, and it was tainted and discolored just like anything else. I fought for a military group that was a representation of order and what a military group could be, and that too was warped. So now I try it on a more personal level, and I hope to grow it into something else and to have different results.
I just sort of nod, turn back to the medical panoply, and start, like, you know, entering data.
I guess I look at him. Well, I guess if you want to come on board, we got a hell of a ship. As I point back, like, maybe something else just falls down.
Yeah, you point, like, across, like, out the window, maybe into the garage, and, yeah, you can see, like, for the first time, you see the swan song, Mr. Sicarian. And I think at this point, it's still being, like, fitted. Like, it's not, like, ready yet. So there's some, like, some crew outside, you know, ratcheting parts on and stuff. Okay. And it's not the nicest ship you've ever seen, Mr. Sicarian.
Yeah, I point to the ship. I'm like, yeah, we got a job already. We're going to go meet my buddy Randy, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Let's do it.
Oh my god. Awesome. My buddy Randy.
So maybe the last thing we see before we cut back to the present is like Higgs and Sicarian like shaking hands to seal the deal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Victor, so like we see the two of them, like you guys are shaking hands, and Victor, you're off with Piani by the side. Is there any like parting words from the two of you?
Oh yeah, you know, I'm probably just like
I want to give you an opportunity.
Yeah, I'm probably like, you know, I had a really good feeling about this. I think if we get in any tight spots, Sicarian's really gonna come through for us. I feel a lot safer with him on board.
All right,
I agree.
Awesome.
Be right back. I'm gonna run some stairs for fitness.
Okay, perfect. So we fade out, and come back to Cabral. And I think that it's probably like the next day. You've all eaten and drank of the mead, and
it is 2 days till Titan's arrival. And in the morning, you get a message on your compad, Mr. Sakarian, that says, like, you wake up. Maybe we see you waking up. We're in, like, Sakarian's quarters, and we hear the, like, beep, 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 beep of your, like, your compad buzzing, and you, like, wake up in your bunk.
Yeah, so I rise up from my blanketless bed that's, like, just a tucked-in sheet with a single pillow, and I literally sit up like a fucking vampire, and I'm looking at the comm,
yeah.
And I unhook, like, a very Sean Connery James Bond robe and tie it, put it on, walk over to the comm and sit down to answer.
Okay. Is it like velvet or silk?
Yeah, it's just white.
Yeah, just like, okay. All right, so you put your robe on and you, like, pull the... I think the comms, like, it's a little, like, Battlestar Galactica-esque in that the comms have, like, handsets that you actually, like, pull off the wall. So you answer, and you say hello, and then there's a pause, and then there's, a woman's voice that you recognize, and it immediately, like, just, like, curdles your guts when you hear it. And it's like, rise and shine, motherfucker. You ready to die?
I do enjoy our little conversations.
You know, you don't have to do this. You can just go ahead and cut your own balls off right now, put them in a box, and mail them to me. I'll give them to Mr. Titan, and we'll say, whole thing's over, no problem.
I guess you would be the expert on that, seeing as how I challenged you and you went to your daddy. I think, that probably would be the process you went through. I will actually defer. I'm going to go ahead and finish out this thing.
It's like, suit yourself. You're going to lose, though. You know that, right?
Well, no, I don't think I do that. I don't know that. Is there a reason you're calling, or do you just like
seeing you in the morning? I just wanted to let you know you've only got 2 days to live, asshole. So enjoy them. Later. She hangs up on you.
You see him, like, just, like, very groggily, like, typing out a message. And if you look over his shoulder, it's just like, fuck you. He just writes a fuck you and sends it to her in text.
Fuck you, lol.
He breaks a little bit from the clean, posh Sakarian mold with her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's fucking obnoxious as hell. So, yeah, so they're in system. The time is coming. So, what do you want to do?
I think for me, the last couple, so it's like 2 days, you know, this is the start of one of those 2 days. So on this day, I'm still, like, having meetings with Olaf, but it's not sweaty combat meetings. It's obviously time for rest, so it's more like we're doing meditations together and talking tactics and discussing things. In those things, I tell him that I've signed over, like, I have a living will that I signed over to him for the Thunder Gun and the credits I have in my account.
Okay.
And my weaponry.
When you say that, he puts his hand up. He's like, I couldn't imagine taking Mjolnir from you. No, no. It goes with you to Valhalla.
You're a good friend. But do take the credits, please.
Do you want me? And he, like, looks around at the ship. He's like, do you want me to send the ship and the crew with you to Valhalla, too? I mean,
He doesn't laugh.
They're your slaves, right?
Like, he gives, like, a somber consideration, and he's like, no. We have different beliefs than them. I do have concerns for them if I were to pass, and I would appreciate perhaps if you checked in on them every once in a while. Piani in particular is a good soul, that one. I think if she was born into a sturdier and more larger frame, something like, who was that female that absolutely beat the shit out of,
He's like, oh, you Prosper. You mean my sister.
Yes, your sister.
Hilda, right?
Yeah.
Hilda. Yes, your sister was built like a beautiful ox, and I believe if Piani was born of that kind of flesh, you would be quite proud to call her Scarl.
When you start talking about Piani, Olaf gets kind of like a, not an uncomfortable look, but like just, he kind of like, seems like elsewhere, like he's thinking about something else. And he's just nodding, and he's like, yes, yes, of course, but you can tell he's not really listening. Like he's thinking
Olaf.
About else.
Usually when we have these talks, your attention and wit is as sharp as a two-handed battle axe, but right now I notice that you are thinking of something else. Did I trouble you?
No, no, it's just the woman in your crew. Piani, you said.
Yes, Miss Piani Pick.
She, I meant to keep an eye out from her, on her. The elder said, well, she's important. He didn't say why.
Well, then
are things I don't understand, and I don't ask these kinds of questions. You may think it a bit backwards, but on Sigrid, psychics are not well received. They're bad omens. And I think at that point, he says bad omens, and maybe we hear like a crashing noise from the kitchen.
Yep, absolutely.
So are you eavesdropping intentionally, Eric, or is this just an unrelated act of clumsiness?
I feel like as soon as they started yelling about Valhalla, Eric probably like, maybe he was like walking like stealthily back to his engine room with like a big jug of milk or something like that. And then he hears them talking about Valhalla. He's like, and then he's outside, you know, just sort of like listening. Yeah.
Okay.
And then he, you know, he did, you know, bump into something or knock something over when he heard them say that.
I mean, I think you walk into Piani. Like, Piani's on her way to the mess, and you just, like, walk into her because you're, like, paying the attention in the other direction.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Piani. How are you? I'd best be going to the engine room. I mean,
Good evening. Wait. Is everything okay?
Would you like to see the engines? They're really very nice. I've made a number of very impressive improvements.
Sure. Why not?
Come with me. And I just, like, put one huge arm around your shoulder. How tall are you, Piani? You're, like, 5'2 or something?
Yeah, I'm not very tall.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah. My arm is, like, around your neck. Yeah, like, you know, I ferry you off to the engine room, and once we're there, I like close the door and then like turn the wheel and lock it, and then lock it in place. I turn around, I say, "That man is from Sigrid."
Shut up! Let me on the show.
The butt, that means he loves you.
Yep, butt love.
Butt love.
That man is from Sigrid.
He is?
I don't like Sigrid very much.
What? Why is that?
You know, I guess, like, Eric just sort of, like, goes over to the middle of the engine room, like, where there's empty space, and he just, like, sits down cross-legged on the floor. And he, like, you know, he makes this big cross-legged man. He says, well, they didn't really understand what it was like, you know, for people like you and me.
Ah, I get it. That shit doesn't bother you, does it?
No.
I think you're lying to me. I mean, Eric, aren't you happy, like, in space? No one gives a fuck.
That's what they say.
The poster now.
Yeah, in space, no one gives a fuck.
Forget like, Sigourney Weaver. In space, no one can hear you scream. It's in space.
In space, and no one gives a fuck.
I mean, Piani Pick. Just...
Of course, we run across people who are assholes who don't understand or want to say we've got a disease or something like that. But at the end of the day, who fucking cares? We're special, and they aren't.
Yeah.
Thanks, Magneto.
But
Eric, I guess it's the first time I've ever gotten to talk to another psychic.
Yeah,
like
totally.
The first time you hear it from a, I'm like, look, if you ever need to talk about it, you know that I'm here. We have to be allies. I mean, we are. We're on the crew, but we share something that the other members can't ever truly understand.
Yeah, I just. Don't you ever wish that sometimes some people did give a fuck? It's just, you know, we're different, and we have different challenges that we face. And sometimes when nobody acknowledges that, or they just ignore you, or they don't understand when you have nightmares, or they call you different and they make fun of you, maybe it would be nice if people understood. On Hoveda, they think we are different, and they do care. And that was nice.
It is nice. That's very nice. But, I mean, Eric, come on. You can't expect everywhere to be like that.
No, I guess I wish my family were like that. But Piani, Sicarian's having a fight. What are we going to do?
We're going to let him fight because that's how the code works.
Is there anything you can do?
Well, I've actually been thinking about this quite a bit. As you know, or maybe not, we haven't talked about it much, but one of the things I'm good at is healing.
You are a biopsionicist.
I am.
That's amazing. I could never get the trick of it. It was all like cells and organisms and stitching things together and cutting things apart. It's just very confusing to me. It doesn't make sense the way the mind does.
Well, you're right. And, you know, I don't know about the fight. Like, we can't interfere, but I'm not going to let him die either.
Okay. Well, that's certainly something. Is there any way I can help you?
I can
give you my power points.
I'll tell you what. Just make sure, no matter what, during the duel, we can see Mr. Sicarian, and you're with me. That'll be enough planning. It's about all we can do.
Okay. Wait. Do we know if the Fotenhauer Society, do they have any psychics on their side?
Oh, I think it'd be silly to think they don't.
Okay. I can fuck them up.
Really?
What
exactly can you do, Eric?
Oh, one of the things we were taught very early on Hoveda was a psionic static field. You see, I set up a region, and all of a sudden, all of anybody I don't like, they have a much, much harder time activating psychic powers. It's very fun. It feels like static bugs crawling across your brain.
Wow. Well, maybe that'll come in handy at the duel. But
yes.
I don't know what to expect. I also don't know if Mr. Sicarian would much like it if we interfered.
Oh,
I'm sure
well,
he doesn't want to lose his life, but it's kind of against the code, I think.
Oh, maybe we could check. Surely everybody involved can agree that there should be no outside influence, and so a static field simply prevents that.
All right, well, let's plan on just doing that. We gotta see Mr. Sicarian, and we just got to be next to one another.
All right. I'll stick with you. Now, if you don't mind, I have some very important upgrades to attend to, and you just see, like, the entire engine go and lift up. And at the same time, the wheel on the door unspins, and, like, the door sort of pops open. I just walk over.
I start to leave, and then I guess as I turn around, I just say, Eric, you ever need to talk, you let me know.
Thanks, Piani.
You're welcome. I slammed the door.
Cool. Okay. So, meanwhile, Higgs, you're... are you in your room? It's like early, like, morning, I guess. You've adapted to
the
schedule of the planet.
I'm pretty fucking annoyed that Olaf is here just being loud as shit on my ship.
Oh, yeah.
So I've put myself in my room, and I just stay there for the most part.
Okay. So you get a hail, basically. You just hear, like, it's like the same kind of, like, beeping, and your video, like, terminal lights up and tells you there's, like, an incoming communication.
Okay. Yeah, I hit accept or say accept or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, so it's, we see the screen before you as you reach and hit the button. It says, like, yeah, comms from PWS Sigrid, or Sigmund, I can't remember. Siegfried. That was the name of the ship. Siegfried. And, yeah, and it's just, like, encrypted communication. And you
okay.
Hit the button.
Yeah, I go and lock the door when I see that as well.
Okay. All right, so the comm, like, lights up, and you can see the face of a man. It's not Mr. Titan. It's, a younger guy. He's black. He's got a military uniform on. Same, like, brush cut that we've seen on a bunch of the Fotenhauer guys. And he starts by saying, Mr. Higgins, we don't know each other, but I got this information, your comm channel, from the barricade. We need to have a conversation.
Okay, well, I think we're having one. What can I do you for? What's your name, by the way?
He, like, looks around. They call me Mr. Catharsis.
Okay, I like it. Spooky, it's got a little element to it. It's good.
We don't pick them. He shrugs.
Yep.
So, I'm supposed to tell you this duel, Sicarian can't win.
Well, why is that? I thought it was all good. I thought we were going to let the dice roll.
Yeah. Things have changed. Barricade says no. Well, we need Titan where he is.
What does everyone else say?
I'm just the messenger. And there's no time. As far as I understand it, you called in your meeting. These are the orders.
Is it video? So,
yeah.
Okay. Then maybe I'm just kind of like looking like a 1,000-yard gaze off the side. I'm like, well, if that's how it is, I guess that's how it is.
See, this comes from the barricade herself. So you know how important it is, and if this doesn't go, it's not just your ass on the line, it's mine too.
Well, I'm not going to rig the fight so my own guy loses. I thought that was on y'all.
No, we're busy. We got pirate problems. Big fucking pirate problems.
I heard, okay, yeah.
As he says that behind him, there's a pirate swinging from behind him.
It's fucking Barbossa, he's back.
He's like, Jesus Christ, there's one behind me!
He's traveling through the races.
You better believe in roller coasters.
Yeah.
All right, so the point is here that, yeah, he says to you, he's like, I'm just the messenger. We need this problem solved, and to solve the problem, we need Titan in place. This kind of destabilization, if we lose Titan, the whole society comes apart.
Hold on, what? Okay, I see what you're saying, but what if we just have Mr. S take his place if he wins? I mean, I can control Mr. S. I've got his ear.
You don't know what happened, do you?
No, I haven't. I have not talked to him about it before. I assume it's heavy, but
yeah, he betrayed the whole society, turned on everybody. It was a mess. Titan's a goddamn hero, and if we lose him, morale breaks. The whole thing comes apart. The entire society, and you know how important we are to the sector, keeping things under control. If we lose Titan, that's not true anymore.
All right, well, I was hoping I was just going to sit back and watch the fight like everyone else, but all right, I'll see what I can do.
He says, yeah, you'd better. And he hangs up.
Okay. I probably just, like, poured longer drink than normal, and then maybe I drink it, put it down, sit there in the room, and just kind of like sit back and start thinking. And that's, I guess, my scene. It just leaves me at that.
Sure. Okay. All right. So, what's everybody else doing while sort of like strategy and stuff is happening on Sicarian's end?
Well, I am the couch in his room. So, like, how do I get out of there when I sneak out?
You turn off your octo camouflage and disappear.
What do you mean? So, what is everyone else doing? Is that what
you're doing? I just want to know what the crew is up to while you're preparing. Like, is anybody going to go and talk to Mr. Sicarian about it, or Are you just going to kind of interfere? Duel?
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah. there's a, like, everyone can feel, like, there's an emotional tension in the ship, because you all know that in a couple of days, Mr. Sicarian is either going to come out victorious or he's going to get killed.
All so, right, well, I suppose after my conversation with Eric, like, I would wait until basically, like, the last moment that I know that I would have to ask, just because I'm, like, struggling with the whole idea of talking to Mr. Sicarian in the first place.
All right. I would think maybe, like, an hour passes or something, I come out of the room and start making... Where are you training, Jeff?
So would we say this is the end of day one of the two?
Yeah, it's like... It's mid-morning, Friday, December 29th. So you've got
mid-morning.
All of Saturday, and then Sunday at midnight is the duel.
Okay, then I think in that case I was at mid-morning. I'm in the mess hall reading up on, you know, galaxy news, checking my Spacebook. Not checking my Spacebook, fuck that. No, I'm just reading news and drinking sure. coffee.
Okay, yeah, so maybe you're reading an article about... Oninza Libre and their struggles, and how there's like two, maybe you're watching this when Higgs comes in, there's like a video clip of two sort of talking head, like military advisors, like a CNN style show talking yeah. about like, what do you think the chances are, Biff? Well, Buzz, let me tell you. And the two of them are kind of going back and forth about, like whether or not the Oninza Libre, like movement is going to survive. And one of them's like, well, you know, those Fates Rangers, they're a tough outfit, and they've got themselves some of the best gear in the galaxy. And then the other guy's like, well, yeah, but these guys, these Oninza Libre guys, they got spunk. And these two dudes are, like, exactly the same. Like, you couldn't tell them apart if you saw yeah. them. Like, and, yeah, they're just, they're debating this, and you're kind of, like, watching that when Higgins, like, comes in.
Okay. As he walks in, then I stand up and say, Mr. Higgins, good to see you.
Yeah, the Libre are going to lose that if you want to make a bet.
Kind of chuckles. He's, like, super used to your dark, I don't even know to call it sarcasm, just like your humor, I guess. He's like, it's a bet I would not want to take in good honesty.
Oh, well. Where's Olaf? What's he up to?
Olaf is sleeping off a hangover. He usually rises at the later hour of 8:37 a.m.
Oh, okay. Well, I start walking back towards the door and shut it. Just like, you know, you've been on the ship for so long, and I think it's time you finally told me what happened back with Titan. I know you got to fight him. I just got to know why.
Mr. Higgins, you are owed that. Absolutely. Please, sit. And I, like, pour... Do you want a coffee?
Don't ever ask me. It's 3 years. You know not to ask me that.
Of course. I pour half coffee and literally half scotch. Like, just... Actually, I pour half coffee. Notice that I made a mistake. Pour out half of that and then pour the rest scotch. And then give it to him.
Yeah, I'd take it. I'm just like, well, what's the story?
Mr. Titan is my mentor and commanding officer as I was coming up through the Fotenhauer organization. He, as I said, was my mentor, so he saw a great promise in me, took me under his wing, so to speak, and made me a part of his unit. I quickly rose through the ranks, and it got to the point in time where I was appointed my own unit. And then eventually from there, I became a mister, and I was seeking, again, more upward mobility. This was a very glorious time for the Fotenhauer Institute, as we were very successful. We were highly revered. The group was really becoming something special. We would do a task to the letter, we would not fail, and we would come out with minimal losses, both collateral and of our own. Of course, the enemy's losses were great. Things were really good. I was in a position where a lot of people were talking about me as becoming one of the leaders, basically, one of the trifecta heads of this organization that would make the big picture decisions. Mr. Titan, of course, has been in this position for a long while and saw a threat in me. This is conjecture at this point. I don't actually know. He didn't confess anything to me. There was no dramatic admissal of, you know, what he was planning. We were coming back from a glorious campaign, a long one, off-world, and he asked to see me privately in our transport. When we were in low atmosphere, he shot me in the back and shoved me out of it, and I do not know how to tell you how I survived. Assault armor is a beautiful, glorious thing that I have much to be thankful for. But even then, I was nowhere near the physical shape that I am now. It took many months of numerous things to get out of that. But I came back to figure I could just, of course, hold him in court and have him slain for his crimes and his treachery. I was not as high ranked as he is, but I was very high ranked, and the assassination of an officer is, of course, one of the greatest crimes in Fotenhauer. But he had erased all records of me and spread a lie that I was secretly trying to do a coup and was going to do the very same thing to him. Made himself a hero by, of course, ratting out the coup and eliminating me. And in doing so, he actually outcasted a few of my closest friends and some people that knew that I would never do that, like Mr. Falcon. But I would later find out that he had Miss Fate kill Falcon as well to tie... Mr. Falcon, excuse me, to tie up the loose ends. So when you ask me what started this, that's what started it. But truly, it goes before that. I've always sought out perfection, and I've always sought out something that could do good for more people. And the martial prowess of the Fotenhauer group was that spear tip, I thought. I thought we could do that. I thought we could cleave through tyranny and eliminate the evils of the universe and set it right. Of course, that's as grandiose as it gets, but it was something I wanted, and he took that from me, so he must die.
Maybe, like, when you say that, I just take a long drink, and staring off into the distance, and kind of, like, turn towards you casually, say, like, you got any proof of that?
That he must die?
No, about all the shit you said that happened.
The only proof I have, which is not substantial and would not hold up in the court of law, I kind of stand up and pull my shirt over my back, and there's like just a cavernous. It wasn't yes, like a
yeah, like a really bad energy gun burn. Yeah, totally, like a plasma pistol to the back.
So that was that. And if you were to take an X-ray of me, none of my ribs are my own; they are all metal. I was completely, as I said, I'm not sure how I survived. Some people found me, but
maybe we get the Wolverine style, like sudden like jarring flashback of you like on the table with your like ribs open. Yeah. You can see, like, you can see Sigarian's like, yeah, yeah. And Sigarian's like a little pale as these like we see the like doctors like pulling out broken pieces of his ribs.
I say, as I said, what he reported to the unit was that he confronted me on the coup, and then we had a battle and he killed me. And with my confidants eliminated, or at least rooted out and removed, there was nobody to stand in his way when he said that a young, up-and-coming officer was trying to take the ultimate power. And ironically, it is the old, experienced officer that helped make this great organization that protected it by doing the greatest evil he could.
Maybe like right when you finish that, I just fire back. I'm like, you think you're going to win?
He ponders that, and he says, like, I know that Mr. Titan is a fantastic warrior, and I know that in combat anything can happen. But what I do believe is that he must die, and I do believe I'm in this position to do that thing, and I feel like the universe kind of owes me an opportunity to do this. I've had a lot of opportunities, and I feel like, not to be too much of a whiner here, I do apologize, but a lot of these opportunities were taken from me from very large and indomitable movements that I couldn't stop.
I guess the last question I got is, you think it's going to be a fair fight? Maybe I wince a little bit and stare at you for the first time throughout the entire conversation.
I say I do not think so. I brought Olaf here in part because I find him to be an extremely capable warrior, but also an honorable one, and someone that, above all else, if he sees treachery, will know to hit it, and hit it again, and again, and stab it, and then hit it more with all the blades and the guns. And I want that to happen if treachery does occur.
Are you drinking at this point, or no?
Yeah, I had a couple drinks.
Okay. Maybe I pour you another long drink. Just like, yeah, I just worry that, you know, Titan's got a little bit more pizzazz in the world. You know what I'm saying?
He does.
You're a guy on a small freighter on this ship. He's a guy that leads an army.
But Mr. Higgins, that's where you come in, and I need your help with this. He leads an army that is extremely concerned with image, and if their leader cannot remove a lone man in a duel that is honor-bound and is as old as the organization itself, and he has to resort to treachery, this flies in the face of everything the Fotenhauer organization was made for. Even now, as it stands, it still sides with tyrants and genocide, but it still would lose all face and credibility if it was known that their leader was a sniveling snake. So I need you to become that director that you goddamn well wanted to be just a little while ago.
I'm just like, well, you know, let's say you win. What happens after that?
Well, that's where the imagery becomes an asset and an advantage to us. I don't know that it would be so simple as I become the leader of the Fotenhauer organization, but certainly my candidacy becomes a very strong one. Once I strangle the life from his fate and gouge out her eyes and spear her sword, I imagine that the strongest arguments against my...
I just get like a disgusted look.
collateral damage. I tried to attack Mr. Titan. I missed. I hit her in the face a bunch of times. She's dead. Whatever.
He's like, there's a very good chance that I would be in position to, at the very least, work with the organization and command a unit, perhaps work with the actual officer structure itself. But with those kind of assets, I could really make change in the universe. It would be good.
Well, we got 24 hours. Is that right?
27 and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you are counting, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
That makes sense. All right, well, I'll keep it between us. You let me know if you need anything. I'll be in my quarters.
I appreciate that. And I've noticed you've relinquished yourself to your room. I will tell Olaf to keep his rambunctiousness a little bit more down. I know that it can be disruptive.
Will do. Will do. And I start walking towards the door. And maybe I shut it from the other side and just kind of like hang a hand on the door as I sit there and just hang my head up.
Right.
And I just go back to my quarters and shut the door.
Okay. All right. So sometime later, like not long, but during the day at some point, someone like a courier comes to the ship and like doing the buzz, trying to get somebody to answer the door.
Are you asking us like who would answer the door?
Yeah, I just want to know who's the one that's there.
It's Wu.
Wu's ghost. Get the fuck away from my
If the buzz goes for that long, like, I'll finally go out because it'll annoy the shit out of me.
Okay. All right. Bianna, you go outside, and yeah, there's a courier there. He's holding a package. It's like just little, like a shoebox size package. He says, I'm looking for Mr. Sicarian. Is he on the ship? This is the Swan Song, no?
Who's asking?
Delivery. And he, like, holds the package out. No return address.
Just let me sign for it. I'll give it to him.
Yes, of course. And he, like, takes the pad and hands it to you.
I sign for it.
Thank you, Miss. Miss. And he, like, puts it back, gives you the package. Gets on his little hover Vespa and heads back out.
His and scarf flapping in the wind.
I take
some accordion music plays as he drives off.
I figure this is a better time as any, right?
Yeah, totally. Like, it's an excuse to talk to Scott.
I have an excuse now. Let's see if I can go do this.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have the package in hand and I knock.
I get up and answer the door and see you and says, come on in, please.
This came for you. But before you get to it, I've been struggling with something, Mr. Sicarian, and I know you don't need more on your mind, but what rules of this fight?
Ah, well, this duel is an honor-bound duel. We are equipped with the body armor of our choice. We are allowed a single bladed weapon, and we are to fight each other until one of the other ones is no longer in existence.
I'm sure you can understand that I've got a wee problem with that last part.
Okay.
You know.
Yes, it's to the death. It's very disturbing. I understand that. Yeah.
So, let's just say the worst happens, and Mr. Titan wins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may have the power to bring you back.
I appreciate what you're offering, and I would say that in the only circumstance where I would be comfortable with that is if I was betrayed. If for some reason this is not a fair fight, and this honor was never a part of it, and this was never a duel, it was a trap, I would please ask that you drag me back from hell so that I could kill everyone involved. But if I am struck down in a honorable duel between myself and Mr. Titan, then that is the way it should be, and I will be laid to rest.
It's not something easy to accept, but I do understand. I guess because I have to ask for the safety of the crew, if it does happen, are we in danger?
You are not supposed to be in any danger at all, and that's part of the reason why I'm doing this, is because I believe Mr. Titan to represent danger for anyone near me, or truly not even near me, just people that stand in his way. If this is an honorable engagement, you should have nothing to fear. If treachery does occur, then I apologize for making this something that you have to deal with, and I've carried that burden for a while, and I feel quite guilty about it, to be honest with you. If I weren't a part of this crew, you never would have to face Mr. Titan. I do resolve myself to the idea, though, that given your guys' travels, it's possible that you would have crossed paths with him, and maybe it is favorable that I'm with you in those crossed paths so that I may sever his head from his body and rip his spine from the back of it.
Well, you've always had our back, and I've got no doubt about it. I'm with you till the end.
I appreciate that.
And you know what? I know you'll fucking kill him.
He gives a half smile and like a little green-eyed wink and says, I do too. Thank you.
Here's your fucking package. I don't want to know what kind of crazy sex thing you got. I'm out of here.
He gives like his best Sakarian laugh, which sounds horrible. He's like, ha ha ha! Sex toys. Yes.
And I leave.
Okay.
I'm pretty sad.
Is there any markings on the package at all or anything like that?
So it's like a cardboard box. It's got packing tape, like sealing it shut, and it just has a standard, like printed post label that just says Mr. Zakarian, Swan Song, Cabral, and then like the dock number that you're supposed to be at.
I hold it up to the camera that's in my room, and mm-hmm. It's actually working at this moment.
Sure.
And I say, Pi, what are your estimates that this is a okay package to open?
That depends on what you mean by okay.
It won't explode and kill me, or blow some kind of powder that makes my flesh melt from my skeletal frame.
Well, with your duel coming up and everything, don't you think that'd be kind of anticlimactic?
I agree. Narratively speaking, that would be terrible. You're right. I opened the package, there's.
Okay, so you just take a knife and pop it open? Okay.
Yeah.
So, inside, it's like kind of heavy, and you can feel like plastic or metal parts like clicking together when you open it. And inside, there's like foam packaging that you have to like pull out. And it's like custom cut foam. And inside, there are three plastic or glass like syringes, basically like ampoules, pretty big. They're like, you know, 2 inches long. And they have needles on the end. And then there's like a metal, and they're capped. And there's like a metal piece that looks like it has sockets for each of the ampoules, but hard to say what that thing is supposed to attach to. And then there's a chip. There's like a data chip inside.
Huh. Any instructions, any lettering, anything like that? I just kind of...
No, I mean the data chip will have information on it.
Okay, yeah, I popped that into my terminal, okay. I suppose.
Okay, so you put it in. There's two files. There's hi, Mr. Sakarian.txt and blueprints.gif.
I opened the space GIF.
Okay, so it takes you a second to read it because it's like one long text file with no, like, it's there's no spaces or punctuation. So it takes you a second to like
stream of process consciousness.
It. Yeah. And it just says, hi, Mr. Sakarian. I heard you were going to get into a fight. I know how much you like fights. I also know how much you like winning fights. So I made you this present. Actually,
I read it that far, and Sakarian actually has like a little sob.
Yeah.
He fucking knows who this is.
Yeah. He's like, I didn't want you to lose the fight, so I found this thing for you, and we made a thing. It goes on your spacesuit. It'll make you feel great. Don't lose the fight. And then at the bottom, XOXOH.
Yeah.
And the other file, if you take a look at it,
The piece is meant to interface with a suit of assault armor, of like powered armor, and it hooks into like your spine above your neck, and then the ampules go in, and you can activate them using the HUD of the suit, and there's some kind of like stimulant. You'd have to get somebody who knows more about like chemistry or medicine to like look at it to tell you exactly what they do. But yeah, they're like some kind of like stim that's meant to be added to your armor.
Do I get the gist that they're three different ones, or they're three of the same?
They're all the same. Yeah, it's okay. Three applications of the same stuff.
Then I actually have like a momentary, like, you know, like the letter crumples to my lap, and I'm just like, fucking squids, man. Says that. And he gets a hold of himself a little bit, and then calls Olaf, and there's like a conversation where he says, you know, I need you to, I'm going to put these into my suit. I need you to find out what they are. Like, do me that favor.
Okay. I'm going to roll something for Olaf, actually, because Olaf does have...
His intelligence is 100, I think, so it's like plus 20.
He has a rank in medicine, so...
Oh, wow. I totally knew that.
Oh yeah, Olaf.
Wow.
All right. So he says, "Wait a second. Let me look at those."
Yeah, I give them over to him, obviously.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he holds one up, like looks it in the light, kind of shakes a little bit, and you can see that it's like there's like tiny little like silvery like sparkles kind of floating in it. And he's like, "Where did you get these from?"
This was given to me, Miss Olaf. I should tell you about him. His name is Howard. He is an enlightened octopus that is one of my dearest and best friends, next to you, of course.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. My English must be failing me. Did you say octopus?
Yes. He is a cephalopod, I believe, is the name of his family.
You have some very strange friends, Mr. Sicarian. Strange and generous. These are artifacts. They can't be made anymore. Very ancient. I'm surprised to see them intact. They should, if we can install them properly, keep you alive longer than would normally be expected. There'll be a toll on your system, but if you need them, you can activate them with your suit, and they'll heal you on the spot.
Okay. A toll, you say? Well, I mean, as long as it keeps me alive, I guess I can find out about that later. It's best you don't tell me. If my teeth fall out, we'll cross that bridge when I get to it.
Well, we'll take another look at you after the fight. I'm sure we'll have other things to stitch up to.
Yeah. Thank you. Olaf, there's one more thing, by the way. I was speaking with Mr. Higgins, and it dawned on me that I haven't asked you of this. Should I fall in this combat? You don't need to do it immediately, but I need you to, at some point, absolutely myrtleate Miss Fate. I need her gone. She has to die.
Who is this Miss Fate?
You know what? I have all the confidence in the world that I will not answer that question, but tomorrow, when you see her, you will absolutely know the second that you lay eyes on her.
Well, I will take your word for it.
I appreciate that.
Let's get to work. And he, like, bundles up the like, box, and I guess the two of you head out into the cargo hold to, like, work on your armor.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, let's go to break there.
Yep, let's do our break. We'll come back. Still got 2 hours left. 24 hours, I guess?
Yeah.
Till the fight? Okay, there you go.
That's like...
Cool stuff. All right, we'll take a break here. We still got 2 hours left, so don't go anywhere. More Roleplay Swan Song coming up right after this. We'll see you guys then.